Hey everybody, this is Darren, your host, aka on the Twitters at analysis489. That's the word analysis. If you don't know how to spell that, you shouldn't be following me. And then the number is 489. I wanted to give you a heads up. This is going to be episode 40. Which was not explained in the first half of this, because when this was recorded, it wasn't definite as to when it was going to air. Per the show's name, it should be a week late. However, this is one of the rare instances where we release, and by we, I mean I release, the show not a week late. It was my bad. There was a recording schedule that got effed up, and so that didn't happen. So you'll be hearing me referencing next week's show as this week's show, but I think it's quite, coincidental, appropriate? It's quite appropriate that this happened because of the loop. And it'll be apparent for this episode. So thanks for listening. This is episode 40, a week before it was supposed to be out. I don't know if I want to apologize for that or not, but what you're getting, I wanted to give you something. So there you go. Kind of had to get us back on track as well. Here it is, episode 40. Thanks for listening. Enjoy. It's quite long as well, so as was this intro.
This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Situation, no matter how good the system is.
Right. But yeah. So we've started. welcome everybody to another episode of A Week Late Podcast. I have no idea what episode number this is. I was doing the little research I do was all about a little bit of background information. Anyway, my name is Darren, aka Analysis489, and this is another episode of A Week Late Podcast. This time I have a friend of mine who has never been on the show before, but has actually listened to the show, one of the very few people that has.
Oh, stop it.
Christian, thank you very much for joining
me
today.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
You were just, by the way, this episode, when I figure out what number it is for the second portion, when we come back and record the second part, I will have the episode number, but this is for Looper. Starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bruce Willis, and Emily Blunt. And we'll get into what they have done and but a little bit more about yourself first. We're coming here. We're actually coming to you live from the beautiful Rookies Sports Bar and Grill, which it's safe to say you work at, correct?
Yeah, I do. I do. That's a good place to grab a bite.
Which is where we met.
You know, that is true. The bar.
Good place to grab a bite. They have great food here. This isn't the first time they've been mentioned on the show. There was a guy that I did an interview with for the Quentin Tarantino episodes. Cheryl has been... Whoa, hello. Cheryl's been brought up a couple times, and she's also from here. That brings up a disclaimer I have to give to people. Normally, we're recording this inside of a vehicle or some type of...
somewhere with quiet.
Quiet room. Since we're here at a sports bar, there is a local sporting event going on. There's a USF game today for all you college people out there. So you're probably going to hear a little bit of a background. If you do, you're going to pick up the background noise of the USF game that's going on right now. It's just started. And that was somebody's alarm going off. That's clearly not going to be edited out because I'm too lazy. That's not going to happen.
That's too much work.
So Christian, you were on when I decided to hit record, you were in the middle of a sentence talking about
how the time travels and how there's always one person, no matter how good the system is, managed to like make it complicated for everybody else. The chosen person that changes everything for everybody else.
Are you a fan? Clearly, since you're talking a little bit of time theory in movies, I'm a huge fan of time travel movies, and there aren't enough of them. And this movie is one that I've been interested in since the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
What other time travel movies would you say would fall under, besides the obvious ones, this show, actually, for first-time listeners, this show is loosely based off of time travel.
Yeah.
In that we're recording this episode, for example, the day after Looper came out in theaters, and it's not going to be released until probably a week after, a week late, which is why we have the name of the show. It came about due to the fact that I'm either too lazy or too broke to get to a movie before it comes out. So by the time that you hear this podcast, the movie's been in theaters for hopefully at least a week.
Yeah.
I also review, you know, video games, TV shows. That's on my radar that I like to put out there. But since I'm a procrastinator and I'm just now catching up to this stuff, some of the stuff that I do that I'm enjoying now has been out for a while and is considered old. So hence the name a week late. So now that we got that out of the way, Back to the Future being the quintessential time travel movie, in my opinion. Besides that one, what other ones would you say are up there that you've seen? Because I don't know if I want to call myself out, but there's a substantial difference in age between you and I, and so I'm interested to see what of our movies overlap with each other.
That's the thing. There's a couple movies. I just can't think of them right now on top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, there's always like that system where like people think they can play around with time, and like they think, oh, we're going to do this every single time, and it's, you know, it's always going to go on forever, and you know, it's always going to be perfect. But what they don't understand is always that one chip, that one card that wants to flip the other way, and that's the one that screws up the balance in
that,
the universe.
That brings up, speaking of universes, because in each time travel movie, they sort of have to make up their own, not make up their own rules, but adhere to a certain set of rules that exist in that world of time travel, because since it's in theory still, we don't know what actually happened.
Yeah.
But the thing that Back to the Future put forward is that if you change something or you go back, you're creating an alternate timeline or a different universe. I've seen trailers for Looper that have me sort of wondering what rules they're adhering to, because I've seen, now you have in this movie, Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a younger version of Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Have you seen the makeup that they have him in? Have you seen...
I've seen some.
What do you think? Are you buying that? Does he look like him to you?
A little bit, if it was based on the 70s. Because he looks like he was like somebody will be wearing like a leather jacket with like, hey...
Like a Fonzie type.
It kind of, like, I gotta keep an eye on it, because it was a minute since I've seen it, but it kind of, like, it was a little way younger, less stressed out, but yeah.
I kind of buy it. On a previous episode, me and my brother were kind of laughing about how much he doesn't look like him, but the more I see, and maybe it'll just catch you in the movie, like,
yeah.
You just have to believe it, otherwise it's not going to be true. But one of the things is that they're in a cafe. This is in the trailer, so this isn't a spoiler.
Yeah.
There seems to be, for example, Time Cop. It's a super old movie. I don't know if you've seen it. It has Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. That's how old it is.
Yeah, I probably have. I've seen a lot of Van Damme.
Time Cop goes by the theory that the rule of time travel where the same matter cannot occupy the same space at the same time.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem to hold true in this sort of time travel because they're clearly the same person, the same matter, and in theory, in time travel, if they touch and they occupy the same space at the same time, they would both cease to exist.
Yeah.
So, I think movies have to be built around...
Yeah, you gotta keep the main principles up.
Right.
You just can't be throwing, let's just throw this.
Right,
make
right.
It interesting. I was like, let's do that. Like, you know, you gotta keep the main basic rules in there in order for people to catch up.
Right. So we have, which is very true. So hopefully when they introduce that rule that we have to live by in this movie, it'll be believable. Because if it's not, then it's not gonna work for me.
Yeah.
But we have, like I said, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. For those of you that don't know, he was most recently in Dark Knight Rises, 50-50, well, actually Premium Rush, and then 50-50. Actually, 50-50 came first,
yeah,
before
so.
Premium Rush. Anyway, and he's also from the TV show Third Rock from the Sun, which,
yeah.
If you guys haven't seen that, it's hilarious.
He's been throwing out some good movies,
though. Dude, he's in everything now.
Yeah. It was like he's from Chick Flick, that one movie, 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Like, it's pretty interesting.
But I heard it was really good.
Yeah, like, if you were in that type of depression, you would kind of, like, you know, it's one of those movies that you can relate. It's a pretty good movie. You should watch it.
I should, because, like I said, I do older reviews that are, like, maybe on Netflix or Hulu already. And I'll do that, like, for a midweek episode or something like that. Also, I mean, Bruce Willis doesn't really have to... Everybody knows who Bruce Willis is.
Yeah.
He's been in the Die Hard movies and both of the Expendables movies so far, which he's actually really good in.
I know. I haven't seen none of... Well, actually, no. That would be a lie. I've seen half of the first Expendables. I haven't seen the rest.
I did a show, both of those shows, with my brother. We went and watched Expendables on Netflix, and then we caught the new one? The new one in the theater. And we enjoyed ourselves. It was fun. But you got to go into those movies knowing that you're not going to learn anything about life. Like, it's just junk. It's guns and explosions and people, like, exploding.
I just want to see Chuck Norris come back to life.
It was fun. So, yeah, I mean, Bruce Willis, he's in everything. Also, Emily Blunt, she was in Devil Wears Prada and most recently an independent movie done by a production company called Sunshine Incorporated. But the movie is Sunshine Cleaning. And they're the same people that did A Little Bit of Sunshine with Steve Carell. We talked about it briefly inside a little bit. This movie is directed by a guy named Ryan Johnson. Ryan spelled with an I for some weird reason. It's like Brian without the B. He hasn't done much, which has me concerned. And by that I mean many movies that I haven't seen. A movie called Brick.
Brick, that sounds familiar.
A movie called The Brothers Bloom.
No.
I've never heard of it.
Me
and then
either.
Back in the day, he apparently broke into the scene by directing a movie. This is the name of it. I'm not even kidding you. The Evil Demon Golf Ball from Hell.
What the heck?
I don't know.
That's like one of
this
those...
is the only thing I could dig up on this director in the short... And I never do research. And everybody that listens to the show knows I never do research. For the 3 minutes that I was writing this stuff down, I couldn't... I mean... I don't know who this guy is.
That's funny.
and for him to do a short film in 1996 called Evil Demon, Golf Balls from Hell, that actually got him into Hollywood.
That sounds like one of those movies that you're like, I'm bored, I'm high. Let's go watch a random movie that has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what he said when he went to direct it. I just want to make a random movie that has nothing to do with anything. However, he has directed 2 episodes of Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, even though I haven't seen Breaking Bad yet, everybody's ecstatic over it.
Yeah.
And also a show on FX called Terriers, which is about a bicycle gang, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe that's a different show. Anyway, it's similar to all those FX shows like Justified that are coming out. I think Justified's actually
There's some good shows coming out now.
There's a lot of good shows. We can get into TV shows in the second part,
because
I have some stuff I want to get into that I want to talk about. I've been catching up a lot of TV and a lot of video games and some music. So that's all in the second portion.
Yeah.
Let's get into your expectations for this movie. Now that we've covered pretty much the basics.
Yeah.
What are you expecting out of this?
Well, have you ever seen that movie, The Island? It's about this. It's like in the.
Yeah.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that nobody's seen, but if you see it, it's one of those blow your mind away movies.
It's Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
That's a great fucking movie.
That movie, I was like, I never knew it existed. My dad brought it in out of nowhere. I was like, that movie, like, oh, that's how I think it's going to be. Like, you know how the setup was? It was like, they have all these people. I don't want to spoil it, but like, they have all these people, or like, you know, it's like an everyday life.
It's a movie where we live
it's like a distant future.
But it's a nearby future, but not too distant future, where the elitists have clones that they make for themselves in case something happens to them, like football players, if they break a knee. They can have their replacement
knee
from their actual clone, but these clones don't know that they're clones of other people.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the plot of the movie without spoiling anything. I mean, that shit's 10 years old. Go watch it if you haven't
seen it.
That
movie's interesting.
But it's great.
That's one of those must-watch
movies. So you're expecting...
I'm expecting kind of something like
level.
How they base, like how, you know, this one guy wakes up and was like, why does everything have to be white? So it was like, you know... Why is there a certain amount of people have to be chosen? And then, like, you know, one thing led to another, and he found out, and he broke out.
Yeah.
And then he found out his real person, and, you know.
There was, like, a almost a post-apocalyptic future where not too much left existed, and there were a class of poor people and a class of super rich people that fucking owned and designed yachts and built buildings and companies and shit like that. So on a scale of low, middle to high, you're actually putting the bar kind of up there, because I like The Island.
Oh, The Island was a great movie.
I like
that movie too.
So
I'm just thinking, like,
you have high expectations going into this film.
Yeah, I just think it's gonna be like kind of like based like that, like the whole everybody. Like, you know, it's just that one person that comes out and, like, ruins the system.
Have you seen In Time?
That's the other movie.
Justin Timberlake?
That's the other movie.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. That movie was good. That was the other movie that was reminding me of this movie, too.
Yeah,
that was
it,
like,
feels like that vein of movie where I have high expectations for this movie. And then in the second portion, I mean, you've heard the show.
Yeah.
You'll take your expectation and then make your rating based upon that. But... high expectations. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I love everything he's ever been in. Admittedly, I need to watch more movies that he's in, but they're already up there on my list because he's in them.
Yeah.
Just because he's in them. We reviewed 50-50.
That movie was funny.
Oh, man.
It's the
funniest movie about cancer.
It's, like, sad. Yet
yeah.
It's, like, it's good because, like...
it fucks with your emotions.
Like, you know, it's, like, it's not every day you come, hey... cancer, let's make a comedy. That's like, it's a touchy subject, and for them to play with it and actually make it funny, you know, makes them stand out the most. Like Seth Rogen.
It made me laugh, and I do believe I was man enough to cry during that movie.
Yeah,
because I have some close friends that have passed away from cancer, and some close friends that have just gotten diagnosed with it. So for me, it really hit home.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like a guy. It was like, you know, he's been like. Healthiest, like, you know, he's done everything right, and then, like, you know, out of nowhere, it was like his whole life falls apart. Like, he's been diagnosed with cancer, his mom's like, and his dad, and then it's found out his girlfriend's cheating, and you know, he has his one best friend that's always been there for him, you know.
Seth Rogen pulled through, man. Which, incidentally, go back and listen to 50/50 if you haven't. If you go and watch the movie, if you haven't seen it, go watch it and then go listen to that episode.
Yeah.
That movie, actually, Seth Rogen, I believe, helped co-write it because it was a true story about one of his best friends.
Yeah, most of the movies Seth Rogen makes, he actually, like, he directs and does, almost, like, writes everything. Because he's, like, that's how he gets most of his success, because, like, most of his movies are based on his real-life situation.
Not too many people know,
yeah.
Green Hornet, actually an autobiography.
And Knocked Up.
That's a joke.
Knocked Up.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen?
No.
I had it.
I had a choice between Juno and Knocked Up, and I went with Juno.
I never did like
Juno. Okay.
I watched Juno. I watched
okay.
Juno, but right. I was like, I don't know. Like, it was kind of like weird.
They both kind of came out at the same time.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, watch Juno and not that other one. And I...
Knocked Up was good.
I guess. I think that was...
If you watch Knocked Up, let me know what the one...
Fairly Brothers or...
Something like that.
Maybe not. Anyway, those are our expectations. That's the intro. We have to go right out to the theater. And since I already bought the tickets, hopefully it's bing, bang, boom, real quick. We get in.
Yeah.
And get good seats because it is opening weekend for The Looper, even though you won't hear this until a week late.
Don't worry. If they're lucky, they'll cash the fight over seats over there if it's too crazy.
And, that's it. We'll catch you in the second portion, Week Late Podcast. I have no idea what episode this is. And because I've been doing a lot of bonus episodes and episodes that don't have numbers to them, so since I'm the only one that does it, I get confused.
Ah, don't worry about it.
Plus, I was supposed to do two movies today so I can post one tomorrow. The recording schedule's all fucked up. We'll see what happens. But listen to the intermission music by my boy DJ Aaron Bond out in Orlando. And we'll see you for the second portion of a Week Late Podcast for Looper in theaters now. Go catch it or not, and then listen to the second portion.
I know.
We'll be back.
Peace.
Welcome back, everybody. This is part two. It has been confirmed, episode 40 of a Week Late Podcast. I don't usually reintroduce myself for the second portion, but once again, for the new listeners, my name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489. Hit me up on Twitters, at Analysis, and then the number is 489. If you don't know how to spell analysis, you don't deserve to follow me. So, joining me again for part two is my friend Christian. Welcome.
Yep.
Back, sir. Thank you for watching said movie with me. Looper, I think we'll get right into the... Spoilers are going to happen if we talk about this too much. So
yeah.
We have to get into the ratings first. And let those people know that if they aren't going to watch this movie, we give them a countdown to what will be the spoilers, and then that'll happen. We normally talk about trailers, but we kind of got there on...
Yeah, when we first started, we did the trailers. If you're talking about, you know, what we thought about it and what we should be expecting... Which was pretty interesting.
Well, I usually, like, take mental notes of new trailers that get played in the movies. I did see some, but you weren't there to watch them with me.
I saw the one with the four murderers and the houses or the same ghost.
Yeah, what was that about?
That looked kind of interesting. I don't know. It was like they're talking about this four unsolved murders, like the whole family.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And like the only thing linking them to the murders was this
found footage.
Yeah, like this weird doll ghost thing. I don't know.
That appeared inside the photographs. I remember that. I don't remember exactly what
with
that
an
was.
I.
For the first time ever, ladies and gentlemen, I can do research on the fly because we're into a sort of recording situation where we have the internet at our disposal at the same time we're recording, which doesn't always happen. I can probably find the trailers that are attached to Looper. I just don't think it was this sort of found footage trailer where four families were murdered.
Yeah, I was like, if I'm not correct, I don't know, I might be thinking about another movie, but I think those were the same guys that did Insidious and Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity.
So, you know,
it looked very much that.
Yeah.
A lot of, as a matter of fact, when we first sat down and we were watching that trailer and that came on, somebody in the crowd was like, another one? Because they thought it was another Paranormal Activity. But clearly it's not. But it's along that same vein.
Actually, if you look up that, like Paranormal Activity or the other one, you probably you should be able to find it.
Yeah. I don't want there to be too much. Oh, God. This can go on forever, though.
You know, let's just skip it. Because by the time we do all this research, and by the time we actually find it.
Oh, there was, however, before you came in, there was a trailer for the new Silent Hill. Holy shit, that looks scary as balls.
I seen a little bit of that on
the TV. I saw the trailer for that, and I was, like, leaning up against the wall waiting for you to come back from buying your beverage, and I was watching this, and I'm like, what is this movie? I saw the very first part of the first Silent Hill. This is the first sequel from that, or has there been other...
No, there's been other ones. There's the first one that was, like, you know... They were, like, lost, and they found these monsters. I don't know. It was a while back that I seen it, but there's the third one that comes out.
Either way, that shit was scary as hell.
Oh, yeah.
So much so to where I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't like to be scared. It's not one of these things that I like this stuff, like time travel and the Thinking Man's movie and stuff like that, but I think when Jason was helping me host the podcast, we did one scary movie, and it was The Woman in Black with the dude from Harry Potter. Remember he did a scary movie? We went and we reviewed it, and I actually was pretty proud of myself that I got through it because it was scary.
What was it about?
It's one of these things where you think it's going to be like, oh, you know, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for these kids. Like, you're going to rip the mask off of a ghost. It's going to be some sort of hoax. No. That shit was a possession. There was some evil shit going down.
Oh, damn.
And it was crazy, dude. Like, there was, see here? Like, I know for the audio listeners, they can't see this, but if you Google A Woman in Black and click on the Wikipedia link, she is standing behind Daniel Radcliffe.
Interesting.
It's freaky as shit.
I gotta watch this.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. And I don't like scary movies at all. Here's the difference. There's a difference between Paranormal Activity, the realism scariness of it.
I didn't like the Paranormal Activity.
It's like, okay, what about The Ring?
Oh, The Ring? That was a good movie.
But it's scary, right? It's freaky.
Yeah.
Those I can deal with because I know that that's not happening in our real world.
Yeah.
But there's this new movie out called The Possession.
I heard of that.
It's got Modest Yahoo, the Hasidic Jewish rapper, playing. Seriously, he plays like a rabbi.
Oh yeah.
And that has to like exorcise these Jewish demons.
Yeah.
And that's racist.
I don't worry about it. It happens.
I'm even racist in the afterlife. But what happens is that I wouldn't mind watching The Woman in Black. I clearly sat through it. I reviewed it, and I didn't have an issue with it. But if I go to see The Possession, it will be with somebody, because it's based on a true story. This shit actually happened. It's the sci-fi versus the supernatural, and there's a difference.
I don't watch
The supernatural, the Paranormal Activity stuff is scary on a different level, because it gets to us on a level of, oh, shit, this stuff may have actually happened, like, in the real world. When we watch movies like The Woman in Black, it's like, okay, it's a fairy tale, but it's scary because they're showing us what a ghost in their world may have looked like.
Yeah.
This shit happened back in the day when there was no technology, too, which makes The Woman in Black even a better movie. But
I don't know. I didn't like the whole paranormal movies. Like, I don't know. I wasn't like, I know the hype was crazy and everything. Mm-hmm. I watched it. The only thing that ruined it was the alternative endings. Like, if it's going to be based on a real movie, on real life, just make one ending.
Because, right.
Like, I seen one, I think it was the DVD one, that they were like, oh, like, I think it was that she killed the husband and she ran away, and then it was like, oh, she was never found. But then I saw the other one that, like, she stood there and the cops came in and shot her. And then I was like,
wait a minute.
And then I was like, how are you going to tell me she was never found when this bitch got shot on the alternative ending?
That's the thing. The thing is that they present these movies. Have you seen Chronicle?
Chronicles? With the three kids?
With the three kids.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay. If you're going to present to me a movie that's found footage, that somebody literally found this movie and they put it out in the theater.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be believing that we're watching. When you come to something like Paranormal Activity, they have to tell you at the end of that movie, hey, by the way, we just put one over on you. This shit isn't real. Therefore, there's going to be a 2 and a 3, and we're going to scare the shit out of you, but it's not real. That's why when you go and watch a movie like The Possession, it's that much more real to you, because there's a difference between sci-fi and the supernatural. The supernatural being that this shit may have actually happened in real life, which is why we're making a movie about it.
Yeah, I think that whole subject...
Mind-blowing.
That whole subject that, oh, this might have happened, it's like at that spikes in the movie. Because that's what I like. I like to go watch, like, oh, this actually happened. Because that gets you thinking.
Exactly.
Like, what was that movie that... Constantine.
Oh,
have you seen that?
Yes. Great movie.
That movie was good.
Keanu Reeves.
I did my research on that one. Uh-huh. I did research because I was intrigued by that one. That's a remake from a Spanish movie.
It absolutely is.
That's a remake called Wreck. And
wow.
It's
good for you, man.
Oh, I did research. That movie taught me. And
for anybody that hasn't seen Constantine, it's got Keanu Reeves and, oh, what's her name? I'm not even going to go into it. Just Google it. It's on Netflix. It's everywhere.
It's interesting.
Great movie. Go watch it.
But, like, what I didn't get was they made a sequel to that in Spain. I watched it.
Oh,
okay,
really?
Yeah. It's called Wreck 2. They actually, like, you know when she gets dragged away?
Mm-hmm.
They come up with a sequel for that.
Interesting.
And, like, it's a different point of view.
All right. Before we get too far, hold on, because we're going down a rabbit hole that we may not be able to get out of.
You better stop me, because
Here we go. But that still ties back into what we were talking about before, because this Looper is one of these movies that you can get into this, you can... Well, let's say you do like a Google search for something, right? And then you get distracted and you click on a YouTube link. And then you get distracted and you click on a HuffPo link. And you get distracted and you click on... You just keep going down this rabbit hole of shit that you can't get out of unless you bring yourself back.
Yeah. It was good. It's one of those movies that get you thinking.
It's
if you have an open mind.
It's so crazy. Before we start talking about the actual plot of the movie, let's get to the ratings before we do the spoilers. You had high expectations going into this movie.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it passed my expectations in reality. I liked it. Like, even though it didn't have that much with what I said about, well, it kind of did, kind of didn't.
It kind of did, though.
Yeah, because it got me.
Okay.
It was something else. Like,
we had the conversation about Futurama.
Oh, yeah, the Futurama.
We can't start talking about that until after we give our ratings, because that, the mentality of the Futurama episode that we talked about before we even watched this movie allowed me to appreciate this movie even more. Because, believe it or not, Futurama blew my mind about time travel before Looper ever did.
Yeah.
Okay, that being said,
you want me to talk about the Futurama episode?
Not yet. Give your rating on, based on your expectations of this movie, which is recorded and documented on the first part of the podcast, what is your rating of the movie based on that, on your expectations alone?
It was...
Now, for the new listeners, and maybe for you, I'll give you a refresher course. The A Week Late in theater movies have a rating capability from 0 to 11D. 0 being the worst, 11D being the fucking best perfect movie you've ever watched in your entire life. There's nothing wrong with it. There are no loopholes, no pun intended, no pun intended. Because we will be talking about loopholes a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Not because there were a lot in this movie, but because that actually is a term that's used in the movie. So, that being said, 10 is also a perfect-ish movie, but 10 is a rating that can be argued upon whether it's perfect or not. 11D is absolute perfect. So, based on your expectations and based on what we've just seen and even the conversation that we've had, what would you rate this movie?
It's kind of hard because it's kind of it's kind of the 11D. It's kind of right there. Like, I don't know. Like, I want this to be like the 10 being pushed to the 11D. Because that movie was like, it was pretty like,
I'm glad that you said that because I'm just gonna say it right now, I'm leaning the same way. Like,
yeah,
there's not a lot. Besides the questions that I have, which are part of the spoilers, I wish that we could stop recording and then see how this podcast ends up and then come back and tell everybody that our ratings were incorrect because of our future selves coming back and telling us how to rate it. You're right. There's this threshold that I'm phasing in and out of whether this is a perfect movie for me or not.
Yeah.
Or is it one of these movies to where they're throwing so much logic at you that they confuse you enough to make you believe what's going on in this movie? Is it one of those things?
Yeah, because you kind of got lost in the middle of it.
I'm not even going to lie.
If I didn't throw you that hint,
You
probably would have still been lost all throughout the movie.
There was this... we're getting into
spoilers.
So give your rating. You have to come up with, maybe we have this exclusive Looper rating for the first time ever in A Week Late podcast history. This might get a phase in between 10 and 11D.
Yeah.
This gets like a Looper.
It gets like
ten and three quarter 11D. I don't know what you want to call it.
You just call it a push because that's all it needs, really.
I don't know, man.
Like, I just gotta watch that movie again to give you like.
We mentioned a couple times that it's like I could literally watch that movie again right now, and I'm sure I would pick up a bunch of other shit that I didn't pick up to begin with. But we gotta think of something. You want to both. Maybe it'll be a 10.11D?
Yeah. I think that'll be good because, like you said,
I don't think that's ever happened before.
Like,
this is an exclusive Looper rating. We both give it a 10.11.
Like, because it kind of felt like they threw too much logic for, like, some people. It's like, you know, some people will fucking be like, okay, I can't, you know, I can't put two and two together. Like, it's a little complicated.
Is it just me or did everybody, by the way, we went to a 7 o'clock showing of the Looper the opening weekend, and it wasn't as full as I thought it was going to be,
yeah.
But it was a decent crowd, and they all seemed to either, they were either so silent during the whole movie that they didn't get what the fuck was going on, or that they absolutely loved it like we did.
Yeah.
What do you, I don't know, man.
It's kind of like a mixed crowd, like I told you, like, it's like kind of like you said earlier, like, if you throw too much logic in a movie, it'll confuse people, and it'll be hard to, like, go through it. Because, like, some people, like, you know, some people have their mind open. They're like, wow.
Yeah.
And other
they'll,
people...
They'll go into this thinking that they're going to go back watching the first Matrix.
Like, yeah.
I got to see that first Matrix in the theater. You're a little too young for that.
Oh, I know that.
But the fucking... The theater was packed, and it was the shit, dude. Everybody was either on something or tripping nuts somewhere, shape or form. These people were watching this movie like it was... going to be the answer to life, and for a lot of people, for my generation, it answered a lot of people's questions about life. It's like, okay, we're in this fucking thing, make of it what you will.
Yeah.
So, that being said, you're right, people either went into this with open minds, or expecting to see, there were a lot of, I accidentally saw a lot of reviews from other podcasters or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like to usually read theirs first before I go watch it because I don't want them to sway my opinion.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It was like, the time travel aspect of it, they liked it. But they also said it was the best action movie of the year. I don't think that this movie was heavy action.
Mm.
When there was action, there was a lot of it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, from beginning to end, this was not an action movie. Like, Expendables was a fucking action
movie.
Oh,
that movie is, yeah. That's...
Like, you beginning to end, there's shit exploding, bodies are being...
When you look up Expendables in a picture dictionary, all you see is action. When you look up action, you only see the cover of Expendables.
Yeah, it's just explosions in your face. That's all it is.
It wasn't
the best action movie of the year, but it had great action.
Yeah.
People were being blown away.
Yeah, like, the action scenes on that movie were really good. I'll give them that. Like, the action, like, they had some really good action on that one, but it wasn't, like, all based on action.
Right. This movie is dialogue. It's thinking about paradoxes and cause and effect, and it's amazing. What I usually do, because we're about to get into the crux of it, I do a spoiler countdown, and it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, happening right now. Done. Whoever is listening, new listeners, if you don't want to hear spoilers, stop listening, because we're about to talk about the movie in its entirety, and we're going to fuck shit up for you, because... It's time travel. So on top of
There's no way of avoiding the spoilers on time travel.
We can't.
There's no way.
We're about to get into it. I'm gonna pause it to refill our drinks real quick. Maybe.
Well, if you want to refill yours, you're good.
All right. I'll be back, but they won't. It'll take 2 seconds for them. Okay. So glasses are filled. Bottled waters are good. Go. So, spoilers, what is, the first thing that you thought when you knew that this was going to be either good or bad? Like, you know how that one point in the movie where you're like, okay, this is going to suck, or this is going to be great, what was that for you?
It's kind of, like, a little complicated to get to that one, because it was... I don't know. Like, I told you, I had expectations. Like, I thought it was the point where he was, like, they, like, you know, when they were explaining the whole ordeal, when they gave him the whole, you get, like, the payday.
Okay.
And they tell you about when you kill yourself.
so what you're talking about is what we spoke of in the first portion, where there is this rule that's laid down. You're going to live by this rule during the whole part of this movie, where you, if you don't accept this to be true, none of the movie will exist. We're taught that with this, but the way that it buckles is that there's always a first time for everything, even in time travel, where this is the first time in a loop that this mistake, in quotes, air quotes, that this happened. So we're dropped into this story. The first go-round of this guy's life, you actually see it.
Yeah, because like in the first time around, it went okay. Because what I was thinking was that he saw that it went okay. Everything went well. Like he killed himself. He got the money, and he made his plans, and instead of France, he went on a trip to China.
So for the spoiler fans, the people that are still left behind, whether you've seen this movie or not, here's what happens. There exists a future, 2044, I believe, where time travel exists.
Yeah, but it's extremely illegal.
What happens is that when time travel does become a thing, we're led to believe that the mob controls it in the future. So they devise a way, and here's the crux of the whole. Here's the thing:
if
a cornerstone of the movie relies on the fact that people that need not be found in the future need to get sent to the past, to these loopers, in order to get rid of people that have been sent so far back that their existence would be erased from history, from everything. That is the... Yes or no? Did I say that correctly?
Hmm?
Is that...
Yeah.
So these people are sent back in time so far that they haven't been born yet. Therefore, they get killed and don't exist in the future.
Yeah, they don't want them to, you know, mess with anything, so they send them to a place where there's no evidence.
That's the one thing that you have to believe in this movie for everything to happen.
That's pretty much the point of the movie, that if, let's just say you get distracted, you pretty much lose the whole subject of the movie.
Yeah, I didn't want to go take a piss. I didn't want to sneeze. I didn't want to blink the wrong way. I had to sit there and think every single second of this movie.
I got mad because that happened to me. I think it was the scene with the kid.
Oh, and you got distracted from your...
I got a text. When I looked up, I was like, what happened?
What the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I got mad. I was like, the whole movie I paid attention to. One moment where I got distracted...
That's what happens. And that's a metaphor for this movie. If you're a looper, you get distracted for 1 second when you're supposed to kill yourself...
You're out.
You're done. And that's what happens. And it happens twice in this movie.
It was like back to the point where I told you, where like his past came out. It was like, you know, when his time came up, that it was like he had to kill himself. And he killed him. They showed a timeline.
Okay, right. So that being said, when you are a looper, you sign a contract knowing that eventually to close loops, the existence of being a looper can't happen either.
They have to erase all evidence of you.
In other words, you are a branch of the government that doesn't exist, and in order for them to keep it that way, and not the government in...
Yeah, the mafia.
In political terms, but the mafia in this case, in order for them to hold... That's a smart fucking mafia in the future.
Oh, yeah.
In order for them to hold true that loopers do not exist, they need to close the loop. Meaning that you, as a looper, go into it knowing that you will be paid for killing your future self. You get a shit ton of...
Yeah, you get the payday.
You get a shit ton of gold for killing yourself. Here's what happens. When a criminal or whoever the mafia wants to get rid of in the future, they send somebody back face front to you at a particular point in time.
Yeah.
For Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, it was 11:30 a.m.
Yeah.
You go there at 11:30. At 11:30 on the dot, someone will just appear in your reality, and you shoot them in the chest with your what was it called? Your brasser butt,
yeah,
or whatever?
The brass.
Your blaster butt. Whatever.
Tell me, that's had a weird name.
It had a weird name. And I'm pretty sure I'll think of it here in a second.
Yeah.
Or I can Google it. But I don't want to. So when your payment for getting rid of the body is strapped to the back of the body that you just shot in the chest with,
yeah,
with your futuristic shotgun. So as soon as you shoot somebody in the chest, you flip them over on their front,
and
you cut their back,
yeah,
open, you take your money, and then you get rid of the body. When that changes, when the payment changes from silver to gold, you have closed your loop, and you are a retired looper, and you get to do with your money whatever you want.
Yeah.
What happens is that a friend of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's comes, his name is Joe.
Yeah.
I don't want to say Joseph Gordon-Levitt the whole time. It's funny that his name is Joe.
He goes to his house because he made a mistake that none of the loopers should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you're supposed to shoot them on sight as,
mm-hmm,
soon as they appeared. He hesitated, and he listened to what the man was telling him about the future.
Right.
And then he took his mask out.
Now, how was that done, though? There was only one intelligent way for that particular person to let himself know and his future self know, do not kill me.
Yeah.
He was gagged. He had a secret, and he hummed a song,
yeah,
from his own previous life. He hesitated. He took his mask off. He talked to his previous self. And in this conversation,
he told him
there was this thing that happened to where this guy exists in the future who takes over the mafia and is now called the Rainmaker, who controls the looping system and,
yeah,
wants to
close all the loops.
Close all the loops, because if he doesn't, he himself will be killed by one of the loopers, which in turn becomes Joe.
Yeah, the point of the movie.
Here we have where everything hits the fucking fan.
Oh, coming into that, we can't forget something. I don't know if you paid attention or not.
Go ahead.
Remember when they were talking about this virus?
Ooh.
We can't forget about that.
I'm glad you brought that up.
That's a big point.
The TKs.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. There is this moment in the movie where telekinesis is brought up, heretofore referred to as TKs.
Yeah.
TKs are people that have mutated by 2044 because of some chemical warfare.
Yeah, I think it's a chemical warfare. They were trying to find a cure or something.
Because of that, 10% of the population of the planet becomes TKs. They get to use more of their brain than everybody else is used to. And at the time, and I can totally see a prequel here, where there's 30 years where people think that they're mutating and becoming superheroes, because they do mention that.
Yeah.
But all it is that it never progresses from there. So all you're really able to do is levitate light shit in your field. So, but instead of becoming superheroes and this big uprising that they were mutating, there's this sort of subclass of human, because,
yeah,
it's a joke after a while. Turns out that the Rainmaker is the...
In fact, the lowest
ground zero.
Yeah.
No, he's the first TK. The strongest one.
Wait, which one are you talking about?
The kid.
Yeah, the kid was
the Rainmaker is,
yeah,
the strongest and the first.
Because he was the one that actually managed to, like, get most of his powers. Like, you know, he was the one that managed to, like, you know how they all stopped? He was the one that went forward.
Yes.
That's why, like, when he was watching the shows, I was like, oh, all this natural disasters and all these people getting wiped out. Like, you know.
They got to him.
Yeah.
So.
Because of the kid was the reason that the future him, his wife, got killed.
I wanted to mention this in the first portion when we were talking about essential time travel movies. 12 Monkeys. Have you seen this?
12 Monkeys.
It also had Bruce Willis in it and a very similar ending to this movie. Spoilers for 12 Monkeys. go watch that shit.
I
haven't seen it. There is a scene I'm going to ruin the movie for you right now.
Don't worry about it. It happens all the time.
Hopefully you'll forget before you watch it. It won't mean a thing to you because you won't understand it until you actually watch the movie.
Yeah.
That's how deep it is. This movie, Looper, which coincidentally also has Bruce Willis in it, are very, very similar in that they almost end exactly the same way.
Yeah.
The character that plays the Rainmaker, who's the child, you never see the Rainmaker as an adult.
Yeah, nobody had that much info because nobody could get that close to him. That's how powerful he was.
It was so fucking crazy that it got to a point where we started, not arguing, but discussing what happens when you raise the same kid in a different environment.
Yeah. That's how they were trying to get to.
It's so crazy that we can't even go into it so much that it's just that deep. Jesus. So.
Because that's kind of what it was. Because it was like he was telling us. Let's go into it. Like when he got into the whole thing where he killed himself the first time. And then he went through his years and he got married.
Bringing you back to that part.
Yeah.
When.
Then
Bruce Willis is introduced. He appears
yeah.
in the past without his mask, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt sees his older self. Let's talk about. We were talking about how the makeup may or may not look like Joseph Gordon-Levitt as his future self. I think it's more about how he plays.
Yeah.
He, to me, channels Bruce Willis. He channels Bruce Willis through his acting that the makeup doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, that is true.
I think they wasted time on the makeup and giving us this sort of...
Because, like...
He has, like, the brow line and his cheekbones. Like, I get that you want us to make... But Joseph Gordon-Levitt's acting is so fucking good that we don't need the makeup in order to pretend that he is a future version of himself.
Because when you look at him, like,
holy
like in the whole diner, like, they kind of did have their similarities, but it was more in their the acting-wise.
I would imagine a scene happened in real life between Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis to where he's like, hey, dude, can I just hang out with you for a week? Because I need to see how you move. I need to see how you speak. It. They even had this thing in the cleft of his bottom lip to where he had a scar.
Yeah.
And I believe Bruce Willis, that just belongs to Bruce Willis. It's not makeup. It's just his face.
Yeah.
And there were prosthetics in the movie that made Joseph Gordon-Levitt's bottom lip look like Bruce Willis's bottom lip. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, they did some great
I think it's more a tribute to his acting ability than it is for the makeup. I'm not taking anything away from the production and the makeup people, because those people deserve their props, too. There were points in this movie where I believe that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was fucking Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of the makeup. It was because of his body language and the movements. Because
when
they
showed in time when he was like his time came up and he was spending his money, you could have seen how little by little it got to the point where
they both became the same guy.
Yeah, they both get like you lost the whole
crazy.
Point where he was young and he got older.
It's true.
Which comes to the point that
it's totally
the whole
true.
Reason that he wanted to kill the pretty much the whole thing was because his wife got killed. That's why he went back in time. He already knew how he killed himself.
What do you think about that? Because Joe's character, young Joe, told old Joe, all I have to do now that I've seen her, I don't have to fall in love with her. Just go away.
Yeah.
We can both benefit. But then Emily Blunt's character became his, I don't want to be racist, became his Asian girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because that's what the other guy was afraid of.
So what do you think about that? Everybody thought it was going to go that way. That no matter what you do, you're going to meet up with that Asian girl. But because we're dropped into the phenomenon that happens within time travel is the only time that it can become different is when something that wasn't supposed to happen
happens. Yeah, because
that's what this movie is about. We are dropped into a period period in time that was supposed to go okay, and then we're actually shown that version of the movie for 30 years. And then we're brought back and shown what happens when that shit gets fucked up.
Yeah.
So, which is what you were telling me. If you hadn't told me that, oh, now we're looking at his version. I thought it was strange that the version of his life that could have gone okay happened after the fact that we already knew that old Joe punched out young Joe, and that's what should have happened. That's what happened if he just would have kept running.
Yeah, because young Joe
didn't choose to keep running. That this is the movie that we're watching.
Yeah, because
that
happened. Because the whole triggering thing was the wife. He already, like, you know, he already killed himself, so he already knew how the whole setup was going to go.
That shit is genius.
That's why, like, when the guy was looking at his time, I was like, it's late.
I actually feel bad for the listeners that don't go see this movie. They have no idea what the fuck we're talking
about.
Yeah,
right now we're talking gibberish.
We're deep into it.
Yeah.
We're deep into it. Let's bring ourselves back for a little bit. That's why this movie gets the first ever rating that it's ever gotten.
Yeah, it's just complicated. Like, you know, it's like right there on the edge.
We were talking before about the trailers.
Yeah.
Listen, people, that's it. That's our review of Looper.
You gotta watch it.
Go watch it. It's fucking incredible. It's
amazing.
We can't. I can do a whole show with you on this.
We can do it from beginning to end.
Right. Mystery science.
You know, that's how people.
Even though we spoiled the shit out of it, there's so much more to this movie that you can just go watch it. And like we said, I feel like going and watching it again right now.
Yeah.
Just to get so much more information that I didn't catch the first time. Unbelievable movie. As close to an 11D as it can get. I think the only reason why this movie didn't get an 11D is because, in a way, I'm still kind of confused as to what the fuck I just watched.
Like I told you, I think they threw too much logic into it.
It's so fucking
like,
good.
Like, I kind of did get it. Like, you know, it just depends on some people. Like, some people, like, they're, like I told you, it just depends.
Yeah.
Some people have their own
mind. No, I agree.
Because they've seen other things that have to do with it.
Absolutely.
Others seen, like, a little bit, and they kind of put two and two together. But, like, you know.
I, for one.
It's like the island, like I told you.
Oh, yeah. I, for one, think, though, that for a second, I thought that young Joe was the Rainmaker.
Yeah.
And that I thought for a second that there was some Star Wars incest shit happening here where he kisses his sister. Better yet, his stepmom, something like that.
Yeah, it was kind of leaning
but
towards that.
I thought that's where it was going, and it didn't go there. So, that being said, we were talking about the trailers earlier, and we saw this one that you were talking about.
Yeah.
The creators of Insidious and Paranormal Activity, which we were talking about, is the same person that did the trailer that we couldn't name earlier. We've done the research, and it's called Sinister. And it has Ethan Hawke and Vincent D'Onofrio and Claire Foley, I think, is the female in this. But she doesn't – or is it
–
I don't even know how to pronounce that name. Oh, she's the little girl.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Claire Foley are the main actors in this, plus introducing a new, younger girl. It's this found footage film.
Yeah.
It's
about the case that, like, these cases that went cold because nobody had no leads or anything. They just, the only thing they can put together was this image that they, like, saw, like, on the background.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that can put it, like, all these four murderers.
It reminds me of, Saw.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking creepy spiral eye character on the tricycle.
Yeah.
The doll.
Jigsaw. Yeah.
The Jigsaw doll, it reminds me of that, but, like, stretched out like a fucking creep.
That
and the Scream mask. Like a mix between that and the Scream mask.
Like, I don't know. Like, at first it reminded me of a video game, but once I saw that other commercial, I don't know. That face kind of scary.
It's creepy as shit.
I gotta watch that movie in the theaters.
So what happens is that,
Well, let's just say the new people, like the new family, is moving in there, and, you know, they're moving in, they're moving out, and he goes into the attic, and he found these old tapes.
Yeah.
Well, not even tapes.
They're found footage.
Yeah.
So what happens is that this is, I think this is the first time that a movie shows...
He does like what I told you. He does the research. So he goes into one thing, that goes to another one, that goes to another one.
In other found footage films, it's just like, oh, we found... It's like the footage just starts, and it's like, this is the movie. This is the film that was found.
Yeah.
In this found footage film, they actually give you a third-party movie inside of a guy finding the footage.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. It's got Ethan Hawke, like I said before.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. It's been a long time since I've seen him in anything besides that one old school, not old school, there was a film with Ethan Hawke recently with vampires.
I think I know which one you're talking about. With
Daylight or Light?
Daybreakers?
Daybreakers.
That movie was good.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it?
It's on my Netflix. I haven't seen it
yet. That movie. I'm telling you, it's interesting.
Since that's the only trailer that we remember, we got that out of the way. What about TV shows?
TV shows? To tell you the truth, the only TV show I've really been addicted is Top Gear.
Wow, good show.
It is, but I don't like the British ones.
You like the American version?
The American.
Top Gear.
Yeah, and pretty much anything that has to do with Chef Ramsay.
All right.
I've been addicted to this guy, because let's just say from working in a kitchen... And seeing his, like...
That's hilarious.
Yeah, seeing his, like, point of view, you kind of get it. But at the same time, I just like the way he goes at these people. Like, he doesn't give a shit. He'll curse you the fuck out. But he doesn't want you to mean it personal, but
right.
The way he says it,
there's
like,
there's a podcast I listen to, the Nerdist podcast, and Matt Myra is obsessed with chefs. And he's, like, fucking Storage Wars and shit like that.
That's crazy.
As far as that's concerned, I used to watch Top Chef and shit like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV, though, I'm on my Hulu page, and I've been catching up with the Saturday Night Live is back.
Oh, yeah, Saturday Night Live.
The first episode had Seth MacFarlane in it.
Yeah.
The second episode had, who was it? Jesus. It was funny as shit.
Oh, yeah. It goes crazy on it.
Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was on the second one. He was funny as shit. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was funny as hell.
I'm going to have to watch that later.
Saturday Night Live, it was so good. He did a parody of the son of the most interesting man in the world from the Dos Equis commercial.
I got to watch that.
Holy fuck.
I'm definitely watching that.
It's so good. You guys got to go check that out. So Saturday Night Live is back.
Yeah.
Grimm is back for season 2. They did not take an extended hiatus. They only took like a 6-month. They actually didn't take a break. They gave their actors like a 1 or 2 month sort of break.
Yeah, it's
and then
time.
they started shooting right away. They didn't want people to forget what Grimm was. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Second season of Grimm is available. The 6th and 7th seasons of Weeds are on Netflix now.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't watched Weeds, go watch it from the beginning. It's one of the best shows on TV.
I have to watch that. I've been hearing a lot of good things.
Dexter is back for season 6.
And Doctor Who is finishing.
Have you been watching Doctor Who?
I really haven't.
I want to get into it.
Yeah, like, I've seen commercials. Like, I've seen all these people, like, you know, all the heat on it. I was like, it seems interesting, though.
This is the funny thing about Doctor Who or British TV shows to begin with, is that they stretch so far back, the Doctor Who episodes, into like the 60s and shit, that there's a certain cutoff point to where the British TV brings it back, at which point you should start watching it. But, again, with the Nerdist, they did like a celebrity all-star bowling with Doctor Who on the Nerdist Network. But, yeah, go catch SNL. Grimm is back. Also, Fringe... for J.J. Abrams fans, Jesus, I'm a huge fan of J.J. Abrams. He wrote and directed the new Star Trek movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new Star Trek movie.
Oh,
so I can't
God.
Think of it.
Go watch that shit, dude.
I'm sorry, I've been more of a Star Wars person than...
Go watch the new Star Trek. You will not be...
My friend is a big fan of it, and he told me that... he told me the captain, he was a little too, like, kiddish, like, immature, like, acting more like a kid than, you know, than being, like, a serious role.
That's okay.
That's how he told me.
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
But... Your friend needs to fucking man up and watch the shit, how it goes down. So, also, J.J. Abrams is out with a new TV show called Revolution.
Yeah.
Revolution is his TV show on Hulu, available now. If you go there, you'll see that this is a show. I'm not too fond of the cast, but if I know J.J. Abrams... if you wait long enough, he'll give you the best TV series you'll ever watch. Hence, Fringe season 5. I'm still in the middle of season 4 on that, but season 5 just started running. Also at J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams, for people that don't know, has been a writer, producer, director of the Lost TV series.
Oh, the Lost.
Lost, along with Damon Lindelof, who's done countless TV shows. He also did Super 8. He wrote and directed that movie. He's big on... He also did Cloverfield.
Cloverfield.
J.J. Abrams directed that movie as well. I'm a huge fan of J.J. Abrams. Whenever he does anything, even though this show... didn't wow me in the first episode like Fringe did. Fringe is still going. There's only been one show that was canceled of J.J. Abrams that made it to TV. He also does Person of Interest on CBS with Jim Caviezel and Benjamin What's-His-Face from Lost. So you can see how J.J. Abrams is tied in with all this. Revolution is on episode 2. If you guys, it's sort of a cross between what happens in Hunger Games and what happens to a world that no longer has power.
Hunger Games.
Power gets cut off and people have to survive.
Oh,
and
I've seen that commercial.
Things ensue. It's fucking amazing.
I forgot the name of the show, but I kind of wanted to see that. That's
called Revolution. That's
the whole technology, everything goes off and pretty much, like, you know,
we would not be able to record this show. We wouldn't be able to put out a podcast unless we were on some sort of broadband radio that, mirror sort of CB.
It's kind
of
like, have you ever played that game Fallout?
I haven't, but I know what it's about.
Like, the whole, like, you know.
Everything changes.
Yeah, like, it's either based in the future, but, like, considering the whole war and everything, like, it goes back in time. Like, it's...
Right.
Like, I think it's, like, back, still, like, in old style, like, let's just say, I forgot which age it was, but, like, 70s, kind of. But, like, considering the world war and the nuclear attacks, like, you know.
I'm going to go ahead and say 40s and 50s. Actually.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
40s and 50s,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely that.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, because, like, the whole war, because they were still on the whole war. The only thing was that I think they got in a war with China instead of these guys. And, like,
right.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah,
it's an alternate
version of what very well could have happened.
Yeah, it's a good game.
I want to get into video games, too, but I'm not done talking. There's so much TV coming up. Wilfred is back. I don't know if you've seen this. It's Elijah Wood with this guy from Australia that created the show who dresses up as a dog.
Oh, I kind of seen the commercial.
This is fucking genius. If you haven't watched it,
shut this
fucking podcast. Well, don't shut it off. When you're done listening to this podcast, go look up Wilfred. If you don't have Hulu or if you don't have FX, sign up for it and go watch that shit. It's about Elijah Wood's character.
Yeah.
Who, you're doing that too close to the mic.
Oh.
They'll be able to pick that up. It's about, okay, the first episode, I don't want to go too much into it because I have still a lot more to talk about. Elijah Wood's character is a suicidal guy. He takes a bunch of pills to kill himself, and he wakes up the next day and his neighbor's dog is literally a appears to him as a man with an Australian accent inside of a dog suit. It gets so much deeper and so much intellectual than that. It's fucking hilarious, but it's also one of these movies. Sorry, it plays out like a movie, but it's one of these shows that can bring you from happiness to sadness like that.
It fucks
with your emotions so quick. Just like Louie, which is also back for its second season. Third season of Louie. I've seen, if you haven't watched Louie as well, it's also on FX. Best show ever. It's written and directed by Louis C.K. Comedian, actor, genius. Go check it out. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is also back, also on FX. Check all that shit out, man. The New Girl on Fox is back for its second season. It's in its second episode. I think I'm running out of TV shows. I've been watching so many. I'm still watching Warehouse 13. I'm still watching Eureka. Go check those out as well. Video games. You were talking about
video
Fallout game. Earlier.
Fallout, a game that I've been really... That's pretty much coming pretty soon on October the 2nd. Resident Evil 6.
That's right. Why don't you talk to the people a little bit about Resident Evil while I go...
It's okay.
Again.
Well, Resident Evil is getting pretty interesting right now. Both the Resident Evil 4 kinda and Resident Evil 5 get together with the main characters, and this time it's in China, with the whole outbreak going too crazy, and like there's several twists. Like this guy, I forgot their names, but like.
Does it have anything to do with the movie?
No. The movies and the games are two different things. Unless you're watching the anime movies.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah,
It's also out on Blu-ray, tell the people.
What happened?
It's also out on Blu-ray now.
Oh, yeah. The Resident Evil movies.
I think it's called Revelation or something.
Yeah, I think it's Revelation. I don't know. I stopped paying attention since the third one. That's another thing we might be able to discuss. I don't know. I only like the first one. But yeah, Resident Evil, the movie and the game. I think the movie's out on theaters now. But on game wise, I need to wait till my partner in crime's over here because I want to talk about this Assassin's Creed thing.
Oh yeah.
Because that thing is mind bending.
So thank you for that. Which is true. Resident Evil, let me just go back on the Resident Evil thing. I needed to apologize to my aunt because I was supposed to go watch that with her, but I'm kind of glad I didn't see it because I didn't get to see the one before this one came out, which I was told was going to be the last one. And then we got Retribution, I think. There was a video game version of Resident Evil that came out exclusively for the Wii. I think that was the fourth installment. And it got a lot of flack because it happened in Africa, and they thought it was racist because the zombies were all black and they wielded spears. That's not even a joke. I'm not trying to be racist. That game was racist as shit. From what I hear, allegedly. What Christian was talking about as far as Assassin's Creed, I was letting him know that I normally go to Halloween parties dressed as a video game personality or something of that sort. This year, I was going to go as the Assassin's Creed 3 character.
Yeah.
But when I found out that the game was coming out a day before my brother's birthday, which is Halloween, as a matter of fact, you can skip back a couple episodes, and I made a joke to where I was going to buy my brother the new Assassin's Creed 3 game for his birthday, and I was going to keep it for myself, because my birthday's only 5 days after his.
Oh, great.
And we both get to enjoy our birthday presents at the same time. In this case, one that I bought for us. Assassin's Creed 3 is coming out on October 30th, and you can pre-order it at GameStop, and you can get a new, actually, a, this is kind of a thing I'm teetering on. I like that I can afford to pre-order a game. It hasn't always been that way.
Yeah.
If you pre-order a game, you get access to levels that don't normally exist
for
other
people. Yeah,
you get a
bonus
confidence. I think it's fucked up that in some way, shape, or form, I'm being viewed to other gamers as an elitist. Someone that can afford to pre-order a video game in order to get bonus content. While I feel bad about it, I'm happy that I will get the bonus content, so you poor bitches can go fuck yourself. Assassin's Creed is a game that
it goes deep, it's kind of
like time travel in a way.
Yeah, because there's like
in the first Assassin's Creed, you're introduced as a person in the present day, and you're put into this machine sort of as a slave.
Because your ancestors, it's like the whole going back and messing up with time. Because it's like you have these two, you have the Alliance, the Assassin's Creed Alliance, and you have the bad guys. I forgot
the
their
Templars.
Yeah, the Templars. And pretty much the Assassin's
Which actually happened in real history. The genius of this game is that the writers intertwine fiction with fact.
Yeah.
Historical fact.
Yeah,
it's fucking amazing. The way they do it, and it's been dissipating, which I'm kind of worried. I don't think Assassin's Creed 3 is going to have any of that.
I don't want to spoil you that one. I already did my research.
I don't know if you want to tell me that, man, because I think a lot of what happens is that you don't necessarily go back in time to change the events in history. You're just living them back out so the machine can record what happens to you in order to find out where a specific artifact is. So in the first three games, which is Assassin's Creed 1, Assassin's Creed 2, then Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
And then Revelations.
And then Assassin's Creed Revelations, they all bring you into the same storyline of one dude getting into the machine.
Yeah.
Or a mock or version of it.
What they try to figure out is that...
You've played all these Assassin's Creed games as
I've
well.
I played them all. And the thing is that, like, because they try to figure out, because this little gap, because they try to figure out, I forgot the first Assassin's Creed guy's name. Do you remember?
Altair.
He wasn't...
Wow, I can't believe I fucking remembered that.
I remember it out of random. It's that he had no relatives or nothing, but the assassins still went on. Because the thing was that he had a secret lover.
Here's what happens, and thank you for bringing that up. Here's what happens to bring everybody up to speed in the Assassin's Creed storyline is that you are playing this guy in the present day who ends up being a distant relative of the bloodline of all of the assassins. I fear that in the third Assassin's Creed game, which is actually the fifth Assassin's Creed game, not to mention all the Nintendo DS and PlayStation spin-offs for handhelds.
Yeah.
This is technically Assassin's Creed 3, but it's Assassin's Creed 5.
Yeah, and it's pretty much like the...
That's how many steps there are in letting you know where history has taken place. I fear that in Assassin's Creed 3, backtracking a little bit to where you were coming to, after you exit Altair, which is in, like, BC time...
Yeah.
You're actually in ancient Israel and shit like that, to the times of pretty much religion being born. And then fast forward to Assassin's Creed 2, you're going to the 1400s, the 1500s, and now in the Renaissance in Italy, where you play a completely different character who is still in your bloodline. His name is Ezio,
and
you play him for the next three games.
Yeah, because it's pretty much like, you know, he was kind of forced to this life, because, you know, he was still young. He was like, you know, he was doing, like, he was into the chicks.
Have you seen the Bloodlines movies on YouTube?
I've seen, yeah.
Holy
seen
fuck,
some.
Man. Those are so fucking
yeah.
great. The live action
yeah.
Assassin's Creed. They're actually doing a live action Assassin's Creed movie.
They did really good with the, like, how everybody looks and everything.
Fassbender, yeah, it's great because
yeah.
it was done by the same studio
yeah.
in Quebec that Ubisoft
yeah.
that did the movie, that did the game. David Fassbender? Michael Fassbender from the Prometheus movies.
Yeah.
Aliens movies and Prometheus. He's going to play the present-day version of Altair.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I am scared that Assassin's Creed 3 has nothing to do with this old storyline of, am I right?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
No, it has nothing to do.
I hate that.
It's like totally different storyline.
I think, but to be fair,
like,
there's no machine.
You just
play this guy and
that's the thing.
There is a machine.
That's the part where I'm still in the line, because I don't know if there's still a machine or is there not. Because, like,
that's one of the things
yeah.
that, as an Assassin's Creed player, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't, at this point, there's probably a bunch of people that are listening that have fast-forwarded to the end and they're listening to the,
yeah.
to the ads right now. But the ads for my own music blog, thunderentertainment.com. And I want to believe that that's still going to go on. But to be fair, in Brotherhood, the last
yeah.
one we played, that storyline was done. As
yeah,
far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
they finished. They tied that shit off.
And Revelation has pretty much told you everything, the whole storyline, because, like, the whole thing...
Oh, and then there was Revelation after Brotherhood,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because the whole thing, it goes...
So technically, this is part 6, right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because it goes deep, because the whole thing is pretty much... They're trying to... Like, it's just... It's really deep, because they're trying to stop the future, like,
yeah.
it's like 2012.
That's the thing, that this game was based on reliving memories and not necessarily changing the past.
Yeah, because...
This game is going to be based upon that same thing because they don't want to change
yeah.
the history that we live in. They don't want to change the real life that we live in, but they do want you to know that this shit could have happened
yeah.
in the colonial times in Boston and New York for it to carve out with the Boston Tea Party and all that
yeah.
shit that happened, how things may have been changed.
Pretty much they're the ones that... keep the borderline. The ones that make sure everything is going how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Because if it was up to the temples just want all the power for themselves. And then the assassins that need to, like...
There is one storyline, for anybody that's an Assassin's Creed fan, go to either the @FenPromos Twitter or the @AWeekLate Twitter, and I post storylines... the Assassin's Creed 3
yeah.
videos, if you go to their YouTube page, they have a behind-the-scenes, a four-part series that explains everything as far as the technology and the storyline. Not everything. There aren't any spoilers, but what they do say is that the Templars are a part of this storyline. So if there is anything that's carried over
yeah.
from the previous
like,
one, it's going to be that. Because Templars, through our history,
yeah.
are disturbingly present. And this game... shows you how disturbing it is to have Templars and Masons exist, just like National Treasure movies with
yeah.
Nicolas Cage. It's disturbing how much people that...
How much they hide it.
And influence things.
Yeah.
And how much they hide it and what's really behind that. And that's what these games are about. It's fucking amazing and incredible.
Oh, that game will... Like, if you really get into it...
It'll blow your fucking mind.
Oh, it will. That game, like, the whole... Because I know... The whole thing is different. It's
mm-hmm.
different characters and everything. But I know it's still going to have to link back to the Assassin's Creed.
I hope it does. And when it does,
yeah.
because this is the publicity that it's not getting, I want to know what's up with the fucking machine.
Yeah, and I think it's still on there. I think it's going to be a different guy. It won't be the same guy as we normally play.
Mm.
That's what I think.
That's
like, remember,
very interesting.
Like, if you played on Revelations, he wasn't, like, on the other ones that he could get out of the machine. He was stuck in his mind.
Now, that's very true. he was stuck in his mind. Now, for people who haven't played that, Revelations actually intertwines Altair and Ezio. You get to play both in the same game.
Yeah.
And then the sort of lost footage, the secrets that you pick up by finding all the feathers and shit like that.
Yeah, you
that
find
gets
out.
You a completely different storyline altogether.
Yeah.
You get to talk to Leonardo da Vinci. He makes you weapons, and he makes... It's fucking incredible.
It's a crazy game. Like, it's one of those games that if you really like all of it, like mind-bending and history...
Which is perfect for this.
Yeah.
I would say also, I wanted to make a joke about it, and I'm sure people are listening to this thinking, when I first met you, I made a joke about how you were a version of my younger self.
Yeah.
That's perfect for this episode. Looper, Assassin's Creed.
I'm telling you.
Versions of the younger selves. Like, for the first time ever, I'm going to take a picture before this night's over, and I'm going to post it, and it's going to be crazy how much people will think that we're earlier versions of ourselves. I'm an older version of you, clearly, but
it's okay.
We'll see what happens.
It's just if you don't appear with a blanket over your face in the middle
you
of the
promise. You got to promise we will split the gold. We got to run opposite directions, though.
It's okay. I'll keep all the silver under my carpet.
And we're totally ruining everything for everybody else.
We've
already warned them.
We've traveled well beyond spoiling shit. I want to know from your perspective really quick, because I'm going to wrap this up. This is a super long episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which I wanted it to be. This is great. Music. From your young perspective, what's the music?
The music?
That you've been listening to. Anything new? Anything
pretty much. Well, I've been, like, getting into these record labels, like, I listen to everything, but like, you know, my kind of main thing right now is hip hop, a little bit of country, a little bit of everything. But like, when it comes to hip hop, all these there's some powerhouses right now that are like going crazy. Like,
which are?
Like MMG, which is Maybach Music with Rick Ross, that has Mac Miller and Wale. There's.
You know what? I got a message I got a message on Facebook. From one of our listeners, he's not even a friend of mine, he just, with a comment about how I interrupt a lot of my guests, and I just interrupted you, so I will admit to that. However, it's for a reason. I just listened to 5 to 6 tracks of Rick Ross's new album. One of them had Andre Benjamin from Outkast in it. Was the fucking shit.
That Rick Ross new CD that he got, God forgives and I don't, he got some really good songs in there.
That shit's good, right?
Yeah, and I have to mix it.
I hate Rick Ross, and that album is the shit. That album is the shit.
Yeah, that album is crazy.
It's fucking good.
Like, I used to not like Rick Ross until
I don't like him at all.
But that CD's good. The Maybach Music, the CD, what was it? Made Men.
Is Rick Ross Maybach?
Yeah,
really?
He's the one that made the whole company.
Jesus.
He's Maybach Music.
That's how far I've been removing myself from hip-hop, because to me, Rick Ross is rap, but when I heard, and I have to have a whole conversation with you about rap versus hip-hop, but I heard that shit that Rick Ross did with Andre Benjamin. He is now, in my eyes, he has graduated from rap to hip-hop.
Yeah.
It's like when Lil Wayne was with Cash Money Millionaires or whatever the fuck, and then now he's on his own.
Yeah.
He crossed over from rap to hip hop.
Yeah.
Like, you graduate. Me? That was better than all those assholes. I've always been hip hop. So I never graduated. I've just always been at that level. And I know that sounds fucking super cheap, but whatever. I'm that good.
It's like right now, it's like a late record label war, because we have MMG, that's Maybach Music with Rick Ross. We got Cash Money Billionaires right now. That's
DMB.
Yeah. That's Lil Wayne and Birdman. And then, and now we have Kanye West with Good Music that has 2 Chainz that's like right now.
I really don't like 2 Chainz.
How do you?
I saw him on Jimmy Fallon the other day. You know I'm a comedy fan.
Yeah.
And I watch Jimmy Fallon on a daily basis. 2 Chainz can suck my ballsack.
Two Chainz
fucking sucks. I hate His message, the first song, this is what happens when you do first impressions with music. If I hear you for the first time and I don't like what you're talking, if the music sounds good, that's great. Most people get mesmerized by the beat. I want to know what the fuck you have to say.
I know, I'm the same
way. When he said something to me, it was all about music. It wasn't about the music. It was about money. Bitches, rims. How long do we have to put up with these people that rap about shit that doesn't fucking matter to me? I don't care how rich you are, because I'm not that rich. I don't fucking care. When you can tell me about a good story that makes me feel better about myself, or something touching about your mom passing away, doesn't even have to be from cancer or anything bad, that's when I think of you as an artist rather than a rapper. You are transcendent from rapping into hip-hop.
Well, I gotta get into that one, because it's true that most of these rappers are talking about, like, money and shit and how they fuck all these bitches and all that, but you gotta get, like, some props from these guys, because some of them, like, I'm the type of person that likes to listen, like, I can relate to your music, and, like, you know, if you're humble, because most of these people ain't. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say Big Sean. Like, all he talks about is bitches and how he's finally famous and all this, but, like, if you look up some of his, like, you know, his interviews, like, you know, he's talking about a guy, like, he's raised with his family, and, like, you know, he's all this, like, from Detroit and all this poorness. He's finally gets to that point where not a lot of people make it, and, like, he's trying to get his family into it, you know? Like, he helps his family out.
I can respect that.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the thing about some of these rappers.
I have no idea who the fuck Big Sean is, but I think that's commendable. Let me school you on a little bit. I mean, I do a lot of hip-hop, too, but I listen to a lot of Death Cab for Cutie. I don't know if you know who they are, or Postal Service, MGMT, shit like that. I'm going to go ahead and say that, and I've said this a lot, Grey Market, GREYMARKET, band.com. Go there, listen to their shit. They are fucking incredible, amazing. If you like Muse, if you like My Chemical Romance, if you like any of that stuff, go listen to Grey Market Band. They're currently on tour. I know them personally, and they're so busy that I can't get an interview with them, but as soon as I can, that will be on the Fen Entertainment A Week Late podcast. I think we have to wrap it up. It's getting really late.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
No problem.
Thank you for doing this with me. I knew it would go long with you.
Oh, trust me. It would go longer.
Could go longer. We could have our own fucking separate show, dude, talking about all this crazy shit. For the people that don't know, go to, they changed their website, didn't they, Rookies?
Yeah, I think so.
Go to facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. Follow us on Twitter @aweeklate. That easy. Go for all the music stuff that we talked about. Go to the exact same blog, but through a different channel, FenEntertainment.com. You can hit me up @FenPromos on Twitter. My personal Twitter is @analysis and the numbers 489. If you don't know how to spell analysis, you shouldn't be following me. Go check out Looper. Go check out all that other shit we talked about. Assassin's Creed. Fucking, what was that? Part 6 of Resident Evil.
Yeah, Resident Evil.
Thank you for listening. Check us out on iTunes. We're also available there. Just do a search for us. We need... absolutely need more feedback. If that guy's listening, that hit me up on Facebook, I answered your question, you never hit me back. The only person that ever gave feedback had something negative to say, so I need you people to hit me up on Facebook. My personal Facebook and my gamer tag is also Analysis49.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/Analysis49, hit me up there. I'm also on Google Plus everywhere. We're everywhere. There's no reason you shouldn't be listening to us. We're everywhere. Google Plus, Facebook, Hulu, Netflix, Crackle. Wherever there's a fucking app, we're there. Hit me up on GetGlue, at Fed Promos. It's all the same, man. Thank you for listening. Do you have any nicknames or people who want to hit you up? You, as a matter of fact, I'm calling you out right now at the end of my show. You are responsible for getting people your age to listen to me.
I have to reactivate my Facebook again.
Reactivate your Facebook. What does that even mean?
I don't even know.
You're young enough. You should know how to do that shit without my help.
See, this thing's called life, and then this thing's called Facebook.
All right. I hate Facebook, too, but in order to promote my shit...
I know what you mean.
You got to go where that shit's at. I don't make any money off of this stuff. Everything I do is... Everything we do is free.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for shit. I will never ask you for any money, but if you want to donate... There will be a PayPal button very soon. You have to support the show. This shit isn't free for me.
Yeah.
I pay for people's tickets. I pay for people's food. I pay for people's, it's not free for me. So if you want to kick in some shekels, like Mark Maron says on his What the Fuck podcast, do that. Go to PayPal. You can donate. I'm going to just go ahead and do it. FenEntertainment@gmail.com. That's how you donate to the show. Thank you for listening. As a matter of fact, we forgot to mention that MySpace is coming back up soon. I don't know if you knew, you saw the new launch. You saw this?
I think so.
The new MySpace?
I don't know.
I'll be there too. That's how pathetic. That's how desperate I am. Fucking hits.
We'll be anywhere.
I want to thank Rookies for letting us record, even though they didn't know I was doing that. And that's it.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Until I reactivate my Facebook to our next podcast.
Podcast.
Ah! Are we going to go out back at this again?
Yes. Okay, so thank you very much. Facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. Twitter, @aweeklate. And Gmail, thank you for reminding me. Email me, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Hit us up on iTunes, comment, and subscribe.
Do everything.
Do everything. Thank you. Peace. Thank you for listening. This episode of Weekly is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com. Offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drum step, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.